Om Shanti.
On the path of devotion, God is praised with many types of praises. And one of His praises is that God is merciful. And we just heard a very lovely song which was in Hindi. The words were, God, there is no limit to your generosity. So generosity, mercy, these are two great qualities of God. And on the basis of this, God is remembered as the bestower and the merciful Father. And we also say, there's a saying, to err is human, that is, to make mistakes is human, but to forgive is divine. So humans make mistakes, but God is so generous, so big-hearted, that He forgives us for all our mistakes. On the path of devotion, people go and confess to God, expecting Him to forget, to forgive us for our sins. So at the confluence age, Baba comes to make us like Him. And He teaches us how to imbibe this quality which He has to such a great extent. We don't call ourselves deities, definitely. We are humans, we say. But then we are not those humans who keep making mistakes and then praying to God for forgiveness. That's what people on the path of devotion do. Because Baba tells us that if you keep making mistakes, your account of sinful actions will accumulate, will grow, and then you have to pay back for those actions. So on one hand we say God is merciful, but then on the other hand we also say that He is Dharamraj. And at this time Baba is very merciful. Baba does keep warning us, but still He also reminds us what we are supposed to do, what our aim and objective is. And Baba expects that we become like Him. And therefore this topic which I'm going to speak on is power to forgive and forget. To forgive is definitely a very big power. Sometimes it is very easy to forgive, no doubt, because we are merciful like Baba, we are generous like Baba, we know the karma philosophy of what we are supposed to do and what we are not supposed to do. As Baba says, don't take revenge, but change yourself. So we easily forgive. But then to forget that may not be very easy. It's very easy to forgive, But to forget that, to not even remember it, is even a bigger thing. Because when we forgive, we say okay, because we don't want to take revenge. And therefore we say okay, forgive him, let go. But then whenever that person comes in front of me, I will remember that incident which happened and what that person did. And then, okay, we may not have hatred for him, but then to not even remember that incident is a very big thing. And therefore, the topic forgive and forget. So Baba says, you are no longer human beings. You are souls. And you are becoming divine. You are becoming deities. And as we are becoming deities, we are close to God. And therefore, we need to have this quality of forgiveness and forgetting. One is forgetfulness. Forgetfulness is a weakness. You know, many people say, I keep forgetting everything. So that's definitely a weakness. But then the greatness is to forget what we are supposed to forget and to always remember what we are supposed to remember. Because this also is another weakness, that we forget what we are supposed to remember and we always remember what we are supposed to forget. Like when Baba says, past is past, let bygones be bygones. Apply a full stop. The knowledge is there. Knowledge of the drama is also there. Well, nothing new. It had happened in the last kalpa, and therefore it happened again. Also, we have the knowledge that whatever happens in the drama, it is beneficial. Maybe I don't know what the benefit is now, but later on I will come to know the benefit. And therefore, thinking it to be beneficial, I just forget it. So in spite of having all this knowledge, we are still not able to forget. I know people, when they are on their deathbed, you know, dying, and they have so many tears in their eyes, they are crying and crying before dying. And when they are asked, why are you crying? It's not that they are afraid to die. It's not that they are attached to their belongings and therefore they have the fear of losing. It may not be that. Usually people cry because of that, you know, because they are afraid of dying or they are afraid of losing everything because they have to give up everything. But they are remembering the sorrows of the past. That's why they cry. And they keep on crying, oh, this one gave me that much sorrow, that one gave me so much sorrow, and you know, this happened in my life, so much sorrow, sorrow, sorrow. They keep remembering and they keep crying. And then however much you may tell them at that time, remember God now. Anyway, you have to die, you have to go back to God. Don't cry. Forget it, it's all finished. But it's not so easy to forget the past for people who don't have the knowledge. And they lament, they keep crying because of the sorrow they have received in their lifetime. And usually it is seen that the sorrows are remembered much more than the joys and happiness which they must have experienced in their life. You know, joy is forgotten, the happiness is forgotten, the sorrows are remembered. What I gained, that is forgotten, but what I lost, that is remembered. This is what we usually see. Because human beings are so used to thinking in a negative way, and therefore what they have gained, they forget, because they think, well, it's theirs. But what they lose, that they keep remembering, because it was theirs and they lost it. But then, as Baba says, we have to be in a state of equanimity, whether name or defamation or praise, defeat or victory, loss or profit, happiness or sorrow. We have to stay in a state of equanimity, that is, totally detached from both. And for that, we need the stage of forgive and forget. It's very easy to accept praise, but very difficult to accept defamation. And when we get the praise, there is so much of joy. But then what Baba says, it's like a balloon, you know, a balloon, you inflate it, put air into the balloon, it looks so beautiful, so beautiful. But if you prick a needle, instantly it will deplete, you know, all the air will come out and that balloon will look so ugly because of the air has all come out. So if the praise comes, wow, there's no one like me. And if the defamation comes, all my happiness is gone. And then I want to take revenge. So in order to stay in a state of equanimity, on the path of bhakti, people were told that, people are told that always think that everything is being given to you by God. You know, there's a beautiful song in bhakti. God, I love your flowers and I also love your thorns. Whatever you give me, God, I'm ready to accept. Whether you give me happiness or whether you give me sorrow. Well, Baba says, I don't give sorrow to anyone. I'm the bestower of happiness and the dispeller of sorrow. So I don't give sorrow to anyone, I only give happiness. But then on the path of devotion, people say that God gives happiness as well as sorrow. That means the intention is to have that feeling that whatever I receive from God. And because it has come to me from God, it's like a gift to me. So whatever is given, I'm ready to accept. But we say, no, God doesn't give sorrow, He only gives happiness. But then why do we experience sorrow? Well, why do we take sorrow? We don't have to. I'm also an embodiment of happiness. You know, so Baba has given us so much knowledge. But then we give sorrow to ourselves. First of all, lack of self-respect also leads to sorrow. Lack of respect for others. And also not having the power to forgive and forget. We experience a lot of sorrow. And also that is because we don't have a generous heart. The one who has a generous heart will easily forgive and forget. But then, how to become like Baba, you know? On the path of devotion, it is said that God gives and forgives. And humans get and forget. You know, that's a saying. They get, but they forget what they have got or from whom they have received, and they don't even feel obliged. You know, they think, oh, well, that was my right. So, and God gives and forgives. He doesn't ask for any thankfulness also. No, he is always the bestower. But in order to become like Baba, as Baba says, I make you Bap Saman now, how can we always forgive and forget, come what may? On the path of devotion, there's also very another beautiful saying that the root of religion is mercy and the root of sin is ego. Root of religion is mercy and the root of sin is ego. So, we now understand that mercy is also a very big virtue of God. And Baba makes us equal to Him in that way too, that we become merciful. So in order to be merciful, in order to forgive, we need to have a very, very generous heart. And for that, Baba has told us so many things what we have to keep in our mind and churn in our mind all the time. Supposing someone does something to me which I don't like. Baba says there are so many points at that time to churn within. But do those points come in my mind at that time? Supposing someone does something which I don't like, what should my reaction be? Should I answer back? Should I react? Should I show hatred? Should I show, okay, if not hatred, at least dislike for it? Should I be upset? Should I get annoyed? Irritated, as Baba says, all these are little progeny, children of anger. So what should my reaction be? Supposing I don't get annoyed, I don't get upset, okay. But then shouldn't I tell him what he is supposed to do? Of course I do have to tell him, but then we have to see the time. We have to see the situation. We have to see his state of mind. We have to see, you know, what's happening around. I remember, you know, once I went to someone's house and the family, there's a small child, not very small, but about 12 years old. And his mummy scolded him for something. And immediately he said, okay, mummy, you can scold me, but don't scold me in front of everyone. Why are you scolding me in front of everyone? What will they think about me? A little child, even he had his self-respect. So you can tell me later on. So at that time a thought came, see, his mother scolded him. Well, he was a small child. Well, mother can scold him any time because mother, after all, she is responsible. But then the child had his self-respect and he said, why, mummy, you can scold me. You could have scolded me later on. You could have told me later on. So, that little child also had that self-respect. But the mother did not realize that that was not the time to scold him. Because there were so many people sitting there. So the situation was not right. And maybe the child did not react at that time, but at least warned the mother to not repeat that mistake. But sometimes the children react too. I remember someone was telling me that he went to his brother's house. And his brother had a small child, a five-year-old child. And the child was doing something which the uncle did not like. And he told him, why are you doing that? The little boy of 5 years, he said, shut up. Shut up to his uncle, who must have been quite aged. And immediately, what would that uncle do? The little boy telling him, shut up. Well, then he realized, I shouldn't have told him at this time. So, we can see that, we react, but what will be the reaction afterwards? We hardly realize, because if I do something wrong, we can't tell the other one to not do wrong. What if I were in that person's shoes? If I was in that person's place, what would happen? Supposing somebody else does a mistake, okay, I can scold. But if that mistake is done by me, can I scold myself? Once I was reading a cartoon, in a newspaper. It was a Mickey Mouse cartoon in a newspaper. And Mickey Mouse had a dog. And Mickey Mouse, he got a nice hot cup of milk, which he took from the kitchen after boiling the milk and put it on his table. And it was quite hot, and he said, okay, let me read the newspaper till the milk cools down. And his dog was below, below the table. So the dog was sleeping, but all of a sudden the dog woke up on seeing his master. And he began to wag his tail, he was so happy to see his master and lick his feet. But then what happened was that the table shook and that glass of milk fell down. Ah, Mickey Mouse got so upset. Oh, brought this milk down and you spilled this milk. And poor dog, he looked very sad that the milk had fallen down. But the dog didn't know that there was milk on the table. He should have put a little bit behind, why at the edge of the table. It was Mickey Mouse's mistake also. Okay, he scolded the dog and the dog, well, what could he do? Anyway, he went back to the kitchen and brought another glass of milk. And he put that on the table. And he said, okay, I'll drink. And he felt a little bit sleepy. The dog was away, watching. Now that I should not do anything wrong. But then what happened was that the Mickey Mouse started yawning. And when he yawned, he just stretched his hands. And one of his hand went to the glass and the glass fell down. The glass fell down because of his hand which he stretched and it touched the glass and it fell down. And then that dog looked at Mickey Mouse. Now whose fault is it? You can't scold me. And immediately Mickey Mouse smiled and he immediately hugged the dog. Okay, we are both culprits. So this is just a joke, but then it has such a deep meaning. The deep meaning behind is, if I am in his shoe, or if I am in his place, what would I do? So I also have made the same mistake. So I can't blame anybody else. So the power to forgive and forget is such a great power. And for this we need a lot of generosity, lot of generosity. Because I cannot take the law of karma in my hand. It's not me. In the world people do that. Supposing someone slaps someone, and that person who is slapped gets so angry, he'll take a gun and kill him. That's the reaction. That person only slapped him, but the other one, he took a gun and killed him. Just imagine. Well, he could have just slapped, that's all. Why did he have to take a gun and kill him? This action and reaction, okay, equal and opposite, but then this was not just slapping, but killing that person. And what will be the result of that? If somebody abuses me and I slap him, he's only used words and I slap him. Well, those words, where did they touch me? I remember once, Mama, how she used to train the children. Once, because Mama was holding like a class of Kumaris, because Mama used to hold a court, like, you know, bring the Kumaris together or Kumars together. And even in the Yajna, Mama used to call the different groups and Mama used to tell them, okay, did anyone do any mistake? Or even if you did not do any mistake, did you see anyone else doing any mistake? You know, it needs a lot of courage to complain about another one. Okay, you may tell your mistake, but then somebody else did, and then you have to tell what that mistake was done by the other one and by whom. So it was a big thing. But then it was, you know, Mama used to hold the court and tell each one to say something, what wrong they did, or even if they did not do anything wrong, did they see anyone else doing anything wrong? And of course, it was an open court, like, and each one used to say. But then once it happened that whilst one sister was complaining about another sister to Mama, that Mama, she did like this to me, you know. And immediately Mama looked at that sister and said, okay, when did she do it? She said, she did that to me in this morning. And Mama said, she did that to you this morning, and look at your face, you know, and now you are showing the reaction. The face, it happened some 12 hours ago, and you are showing that reaction now. She's not doing anything to you now. Okay, even if you have to complain, you could have said it in a better way, because that will be good for her, so that she changes. But why are you complaining with that in a face of anger or, you know, irritation at this moment? Now, at this moment, she hasn't done anything wrong. And immediately she kept quiet. And then Mama asked her, okay, she did something wrong, but she told you something which you did not like. Okay, where did it hurt you? Where did it hurt you? She said, Mama, but it went in my heart. It affected my heart. And then Mama asked, how did it affect your heart? How did it go inside and affect your heart? But Mama, she told in front of me and I listened. I could hear what she was telling about me. Okay, why didn't you shut your ears? You know, Mama didn't leave her. Why didn't you shut your ears? But how could I shut my ears, Mama? I could hear so well. Mama said, supposing you are sitting in your house and there is a cyclone or maybe, you know, rainfall or maybe, you know, very strong wind. And at that time it's dusty all around outside. Now what will you do? What will you do at that time? She said, I will shut my windows. So Mama said, well, at that time you will shut your windows. You can't stop that wind or that breeze or the dust or the rain, you know. You can't stop that, can you? That's part of nature. You can't stop it. That's doing its work. But you can protect yourself. And how do you protect yourself? By shutting the windows. So because you cannot do anything to that, but you can protect yourself, so in this way also you can protect yourself. Why do you think that it went in your heart? Why didn't you not allow those words to not enter your ears? And immediately she kept quiet. What else could she say? So we understand, as Baba says, in order to forgive and forget, first of all, the first stage should be to not be affected. To not be affected. If somebody told me something, okay, as if I did not hear it all. Sometimes, you know, Baba gives us different doses. If somebody told me something which I didn't like, what should my first thought be? Okay, each one is doing his own karma. You know, whatever one does, one reaps. We understand, we don't have to react. The one who sows, he reaps. I have this knowledge so much in my intellect. As I sow, so shall I reap. The great karma philosophy. And that person has done something which he shouldn't have done. Okay, that one will reap. Why should I react and create karma for myself? This is maybe a selfish motive, but then it's a very common thought. It's not a very high thought. It's a very ordinary thought to say the one who sows, he reaps. But then if that person continues, you have still a higher thought. And the higher thought is, each soul is playing his own role. Each one's role is different. No two actors in any drama or in any play have the same role. Never. Have you ever seen two actors playing the same role? Never. Sometimes one actor plays two roles. That's okay. One actor plays two roles. A double role he may have. But never two actors playing the same role. Even if they do try to play the same role, there'll always be a slight difference. Always. The voice will be different, the way of, you know, small actions also will be different. Because each one is unique. So Baba has given us this beautiful understanding of the drama. To watch everyone as a unique actor playing his unique role. And that enables us to remain unaffected. It's a very high stage, you know, to be unaffected in this way. What Baba calls to become an observer, a detached observer. One is an observer, but the other is a detached observer. Little difference. I just observe, okay, but detached observer, unaffected. Sometimes I am affected in spite of only observing. So detached observer means not affected at all. But then, supposing that person continues, now you have a higher dose to give to yourself. That's a dose of very deep knowledge. The knowledge is my some karmic account of the past. Because that person would not react or would not act in this way if I did not have any karma with him. So he is settling the karma. My karmas are being settled. Because in three ways my karmas are settled. This is the understanding Baba has given to us. In three ways my karmas are settled. One way is through bodily ailments. My karmas are settled. Yes. Any physical ailment, I should not be upset, oh why this has come, never mind. My karma is being settled. The second way in which karmas are settled is when people behave wrongly with you. So you are settling your karma with them. And the third way is when, you know, you may not have enough needs or whatever you want, your money is not enough, or relationships not good, this not good, that not good, but it doesn't matter, my karmas are being settled. So, in these three ways, my karmas get settled. If I'm not having enough money, I should not be unhappy about it, oh, I don't have enough money, maybe. It's my karma, doesn't matter. This also is finishing. I don't need more. You know, wants are many, needs are not many. I should not be jealous and think, oh, that one has so much money. I don't have that much money. No, it's what I am supposed to have and therefore I have to be satisfied in this. It's my karma. So in these three ways, my karmas are being settled. And therefore at that very time, the thought comes, never mind, my karma is being settled. Never mind. But supposing that action which the other person is doing, it grows and grows and grows, and it's not right. It's not right. I know it's not right. But then at that time I have to have even a higher thought than that. What is a higher thought? The higher thought is that at this time, this soul is actually very, very unhappy. This soul is very, very weak at this time. This soul needs some strength. Like Dadi Gulzar was saying the other day, I think it was Dadi Gulzar, I don't know. She said that if somebody is falling, she was saying in Madhuban class, that if somebody is falling, what will you do? Will you kick him and make him fall more? What will you do? What will you do? You will rise him, won't you? You won't kick him and make him fall more, no. That is not what you should do. He's falling. You are not responsible for that falling. But then it's a merciful act to help that person who's falling to rise again. So that person at that moment is very weak. He cannot understand what he is supposed to do and what he is not supposed to do. But at least I can make him understand. But how do I make him understand? Not by reacting. But at that time, my thought should be, this soul needs strength. It is weak. Therefore, this the picture of the power of tolerance, what do we show? Somebody throwing a stone at a mango tree. But what does that mango tree do in return? Does it throw the stone back to that person? No, it gives him a mango. Because whatever that tree has, that it will give. So, what do I have? At that time, as Baba says, you have your self-respect. I have peace in me, I have love in me, I have happiness in me, I have mercy in me. So at that time I have to count my qualities, what I possess. And at that time I have to share that with that soul. Or the other way round is I have to see that soul also having that. But then, that soul has forgotten that it has those same qualities, has forgotten. But at least I am awake, I am enlightened, I have this understanding that I have this quality. And the quality of forgiveness comes through that understanding. That this person at this time has forgotten what it really is, but at least I am aware. And therefore, I have to give peace to this soul. I have to give love to this soul. And as Baba says, have that vision of soul consciousness. That one is also a soul. Usually, this soul conscious outlook or attitude or vision is forgotten at that time. This is why the thought of taking revenge comes. The thought of not being able to forgive or not being able to forget comes. And therefore Baba has really given us such a big heart, the heart of generosity, seeing everyone as a soul. And this is why Baba says you have to keep that vision all the time in your intellect, seeing everyone as a soul. You say Shiv Baba comes in this world, he establishes three things. Other prophet souls establish only one thing. They establish only a religion. They don't establish other two things which God also establishes. The other two are, along with religion, God establishes a kingdom. Thirdly, God creates a family. Prophet souls don't create a family. They don't create a kingdom. They just establish a religion, that's all. So when Baba comes, he creates all the three at the same time. And that family of golden age, as Baba says, scattered from copper age onwards all over the world. And now we have to bring back our family members who have scattered all over the world. So keeping that in mind, I see everyone as a soul because it's one world family. In golden age there was only one world family. You know, Lakshmi and Narayan are the emperor and the empress. So they are like the mother and father of the subjects. Not just mother and father of their children. That's why Vishnu is called the sustainer. Sustainer means that like parents sustain their children. So Lakshmi and Narayan are the sustainers. Even till today, now in India we don't have any, you know, kings anymore. But then when the kings were ruling in India, they were like the parents to the subjects. And they were called as the descendants of Vishnu. Yes, even till before independence. The kings in India had that, respect from their subjects as the parents and the descendants of Vishnu. So we can imagine what must have been in golden age. So it was one world family, but then how that family scattered, and now Baba is bringing that family back together. So how does Baba do that? Through that soul conscious attitude or vision or outlook. It's such a beautiful feeling to see everyone as a soul. You know, this knowledge may seem very simple for us, knowledge of soul. But it is not so simple for outsiders, for those who do not have this knowledge of soul. It's not so simple. Even the greatest of scholars, they are not really aware of what a soul is. I remember once a very big scholar came to one of our museums in India. And a young sister of 15 years, she took him round the exhibits, you know, we have in our centers, big exhibits on display, like museum. And when she took him to the picture of the soul, she explained to him in such a casual manner that you are a soul, you are not this body, and soul and body equal to a human being, and soul as mind, intellect, resolves, and body is like a car, and soul is like the vehicle, like the driver, and so on. She explained in such a casual manner. But that scholar, when he was listening to that young sister, immediately he felt, oh, this is great knowledge, this is great. And he asked her, from where did you get this knowledge? She said, God has given it to me, no? With that pride. And then he wanted to know more. Then after that, he was telling that sister in charge there that I had searched in so many scriptures about what is a soul, and for the past 50 years I have never been able to get an answer. For the past 50 years. What is a soul? Okay, soul. I have a soul, or, you know, in my body I have a soul in me. People say that. May his soul rest in peace, you know. People say, they just say it for the sake of saying. But what is a soul? This morning I went to Shantivan, you know, in Shantivan, a big group of 300 people have come from all over India. They are running organization called Adult Education. So they have organizations where they, you know, have teachers who teach adults. Because a lot of illiteracy in India, so the government is promoting this. So all those who are running these organizations, some are semi-government, some are private, and so their meeting is going on in Shantivan for 3 days. They are taking our premises in Shantivan, food, lodging, boarding, and morning they want meditation from the Brahma Kumaris. So I went down. And after taking the course, one of them came up. He, a very big businessman, you know, they are like big people who own these organizations. So they had come to have a meeting discussing how to promote this adult education more and more in India. So he was saying that up to now I had this thought, what is a soul? People have so many ideas about the soul. And he was telling me that I keep asking people, where is the soul in the body? And they give me so many answers. One person told me that the soul is in the navel. Navel. And he said, how can you say in the navel? He said, because the navel is halfway the body. So the soul has to be there in order to control up and to control down. Then somebody told me that the soul is everywhere in the body. You know, wherever there's sensation, there's a soul. So I was so confused, I didn't understand. But now I know what the soul is, where the soul is. And then other people were standing. They were all big aged people, 50 years, 60 years, 70 year age, you know, old people. And very learned and big scholars and also well known in their society. But the knowledge of soul wasn't there. And then, because I had to combine two classes, knowledge of soul and knowledge of Supreme Soul. Yesterday, many couldn't come. So yesterday there was a class, but then many didn't attend because they came a little bit late. And today I had to combine two classes, soul and God. And then also when I spoke about God, when afterwards they all surrounded and say, we never thought that God means Supreme Soul means a soul, but supreme in his qualities. We used to wonder, what does it mean? Who is God? Where is God? Because they were religious people. They must have had a guru also in life. But then nobody was able to tell them specifically who God is, what the soul is. And then they felt, yes, now they have realized. Many of them commented that the center is very close to my institution, but I've never been to the center. The sisters invite me, but I've never been. Now I will go and I will invite the sisters to my institution. One of them said that he was running 25 organizations and he will now invite the Brahma Kumaris to give this spiritual knowledge to the adults who come for literacy. They come to the organization to read and write, to learn alphabets because they're illiterate. So the government is organizing this. So they help the government and also the government helps them. So it's a double way. But then what I'm trying to say is that people are really interested now. They are very, very ignorant. And Baba has given us so much knowledge. Really, we not only thank Baba, but we also thank ourselves that we have been able to understand this knowledge which people in the world are not able to understand. So knowledge of soul has actually brought us together. People in the world do say world is one family, but they don't understand what it really means. World is one family. In what way world is a family? Every family is different. In family today also there is so much of, distinction, so many different opinions. Where do they come together, even if it's one family? So world as one family can be experienced only on the basis of soul consciousness and God consciousness. And the irony of it all is that in the world, people do talk about these things, but they never discuss about soul and Supreme Soul. They don't bring that in the discussion at all. They talk about values, talk about other things, unity and diversity, how to bring all the religions together. Baba tells in the Murlis. But then, knowledge of soul and Supreme Soul, nobody gives, because they don't have, in spite of being religious. In spite of having the good feelings in their heart that they have to bring people together. So through this knowledge of soul and Supreme Soul, we are able to bring souls together. And that enables us to really be together. And when we are together, there comes forgiveness and forgetting. The art of forgiving and forgetting is such a big art, because the mind just let's go, you know. It's not so easy to let go if there are waste thoughts coming in the mind. But Baba has told us, children, you have, this time is precious, this life is precious, every breath is precious, your energy is precious, don't waste it. So I have to check myself, am I wasting all that in waste thoughts? So if I'm not able to forgive and forget, I'm wasting my time and energy. Because each one is definitely going to, you know, pay for what he has done. I don't have to interfere in that one's karma. But I have to surely make sure that I don't create any karma. So that person is finishing his karma, maybe karma with me. But I have to keep on giving because I am God's child, I am the master bestower. It's such a beautiful feeling. Actually, as Baba says, that yesterday you must have heard from Chandruben about being a bestower. Yes, the stage of being a bestower is such a beautiful stage. The feeling of satisfaction is there in such a beautiful way. No thought at all of taking anything from anyone. Just giving, like Baba is the bestower. And for that also it is a lot of generosity, lot of generosity. So generosity leads to forgiving and forgetting. And where is the time to think of all these mundane things, these, you know, little bit trivial matters? Baba has made us sit in, on such a high stage. But what happens is, we lack that self-respect. We lack that how much we are receiving from Baba, that feeling of receiving from Baba. We forget that. And therefore it's difficult to forgive and forget souls. It's just like if somebody is very rich and even if he loses some money, I mean, he's not upset, doesn't matter. You know? In Hindi there is a saying, Baba speaks in the Murli sometimes, the Hindi phrase is very interesting, Dhobi ke ghar se gaya chhu. I don't know if the Hindi speaking will understand. Dhobi se ke ghar se gaya chhu means in a laundry man, he gets so many dirty clothes. And then when he's washing those dirty clothes, maybe some clothes tear and some clothes do not become clean. And then they are discarded because there are so many clothes and some are discarded. It doesn't affect the dhobi or the laundryman. So what it means to say, there's so much we are receiving that if we are able to share that with all, we don't really feel that we have given anything or lost anything. Because Baba is giving. And the second thing is, I am not giving, I am only an instrument. Because through me, Shiv Baba is giving. That's again a very beautiful feeling. Of course, I am giving. I have to be a bestower and I have to be an instrument of the bestower. So both these things go together. And immediately, there is no thought whatsoever of wanting or receiving or taking. I have to just give. There is so much happiness in giving rather than in taking. Really. But for that, a big generous heart. So, let us really make this promise within us, that come what may, I will keep a big heart. I will easily forgive and forget. I will become a bestower. I will be only an instrument. You know, that consciousness makes us forgive and forget easily. I will always have a soul conscious and God conscious vision. So these are the promises we make with ourselves, and the result is we are able to have a generous heart. And of course Baba's murlis are such strong doses for us, a very beautiful chart for each one of us. as Baba says, I give you the essence of all the scriptures. It's so true that the scriptures have so many things to say, but then whatever God speaks is just the essence. The scriptures also say these things in different ways, but God gives us the essence. Because that is the need of the hour. Many people question us, that do you believe in the scriptures? You say, of course we do believe. We have been reading them for half a kalpa. But now we are getting the essence. And that is the need of the hour. Why? Because the examination is near. When the exams are near, you don't go through the whole syllabus. No need. You have to just revise the important questions. That's all. So, whatever Baba is giving us in the Murlis, that is the essence of all the scriptures. We don't have to go into details at all because time is so short. Baba is giving us everything in capsule form. Nowadays people like in capsule form. I've seen that even Ayurveda, you know, is now in capsule form. Ayurvedic medicines in capsule form. Before I used to think it's only allopathic drugs in capsule form. But now even Ayurvedic drugs in capsule form. Because just swallow, that's all. You don't have to do much. So we don't have to really create that knowledge from the scriptures or select. No, we are getting ready-made spiritual food through the Murlis. So whether it's Sakar Murlis or Avyakt Murlis, any Murli you take up, it's like a capsule coming to you inside and immediately it gives you strength. So this is what we learn. This is what we imbibe, this is what we become the embodiment of. And as Baba says, we have to become Bap Saman. So keeping that as an aim, like what would Baba do at this moment? What would Brahma Baba do? What would Shiv Baba do at this moment? And what would I do if I was in the other person's shoe or in his place? So this is what I have to think, this is what I have to experience. Okay? Om Shanti. So let us now sit with that consciousness as becoming master bestowers, master generous, with generous heart, as masters in all these qualities, the instruments, bestowers, and the great souls who are able to forgive and forget. I am that. If there has been any animosity, any hatred, or any type of ill feeling towards anyone, let me at this moment now just forgive and forget. So I create that consciousness within me and make my heart become full with love and mercy for all souls, come what may. Whether they are Brahmin souls or they are non-Brahmins, but they are God's children. And I am equal to God, Bap Saman, having a generous heart. So let us sit with that consciousness. And any type of grudges against anyone, ill feelings against anyone, today itself, I give up. I surrender to Baba. I tell myself, Baba, I want to become like you. As you have such a big heart, you forgive for all our weaknesses. You are the merciful Father. I too am like you. I promise, Baba, I will never see anyone's weaknesses. I will never react. I will be only a bestower. I will forgive and forget. My vision will always be pure for all souls. I will never take revenge. I will only share love. With one and all. As we are all one family. Baba, you are always the bestower. I am like you too. Receiving from you and sharing with all. thank you, Baba, for having enlightened me with the philosophy of karma. I know that each one is playing his own role. I only have to share peace and love with all. Soul is so special, so unique, so lovely. So sweet. As it is your creation. Your child. I want to come back to you completely pure. Liberated from all bondages. I now know how to let go. And be a detached observer. Ever loving, ever caring, like you. All my burden of waste is finished. I'm so light. I am double light. In a second, I can fly to you and be only in your company. My beloved father and mother, able to apply a full stop to the past. I know that my future is very bright. I am in your hands. In complete care and protection. I will only do what you say. I'm your obedient child. Becoming like you. Detached and loving. I have no enemies. I am a friend of all, and all are my friends.